Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. In the studio right now is Dr. Johnny Slaughter. He's been on my show before, but not to talk about his life as a veterinarian, talk about his travels through Africa and his family history. Now he's here to talk about his work healing your cats and dogs. He is owner of the Camden Inner Harbor Veterinary Services. The number here is 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Johnny Slaughter is here to answer all your pet questions. All of us love our animals. We're all worried about lots of stuff with them. Recession makes it tough. Economic conditions make it tough. People want to get rid of their animals, throw them out in the woods, euthanize them. They don't know how to afford a veterinarian if things go wrong. Maybe Johnny Slaughter can answer them those questions at 410-319-8888. The one thing we did talk about was why there are so few black vets.
Well, that's an age-old question.
Would you tell me once you went to, tell me the way you started, but went to a veterinary convention? And
Oh, yeah. I graduated from veterinary school in 85 and went to Tuskegee. And one of the...
Tuskegee Veterinary School?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And one of the realities that our professors told us, the first graduating class is like 1944, something like that, and... the graduates would graduate, and people would ask them when they go to the meetings, well, who's going to go to you? And they said, well, people who have sick pets, as if that was a difficult question. And it was always an amazing statement when you would hear that question, because it reflects the attitudes of the time. And when I graduated from veterinary school, I actually wanted to be a racetrack veterinarian. And the same question occurred. Well, who's going to bring their million-dollar horse to you? I said, well, hopefully someone who has a million-dollar horse. I thought it was simple. But what's nice now is that a lot of people, their pets are their family members.
That's right.
These pets are outliving relationships now. Can you believe that the oldest pet, the oldest cat in the Guinness Book of World Records was 41?
Get out of here.
41-year-old cat. And so because of nutrition, when you and I were little, our pets might have lived to 7-8 years of age, and then we got another one, basically, right? My mother would say, Johnny, go feed the cat. Go feed the dog. And I would time the period of time between the commercial break, the television show I was watching, I could open up the cow can container, run outside, dump it into the container for the pet, and then run back in just in time for Batman to come back on TV, okay? So... our mindset has changed because the food has gotten so much better.
The food's an issue. Let me jump right in here and go right to the phones.
Okay.
Folks are calling in at 410-319-8888. Dr. Johnny Slaughter is with us, owner of the Camden Inner Harbor Veterinary Services, talking about his life as a veterinarian, but more importantly, to answer all your questions about your dogs, cats, and maybe some other things you may have running around the house. 410-319-8888, Rama in Annapolis, you're on the air.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have a 8-year-old Yorkshire Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
And she has recurrent skin infections, and I've had her on various antibiotics for months now, and she just broke out in pimples. She has scaly scabs all over her belly, all over her head. I give her Benadryl for the itching, and I'm just at my wit's end. I mean, even her dermatologist, they don't know what to do. We've changed her diet. We took her off beef. And I just really don't know what else to do. I mean, you know, she scratches all the time. She's been eating grass. And I really am at my wit's end here.
Well, the first thing that you said is that you said you're seeing a veterinary dermatologist, right?
No, a veterinarian. I haven't been able to get an appointment with the dermatologist that they referred me to. I've been calling, but they don't work every day like the,
okay,
like the vet does.
Okay. Let's go through a few basics, because this will help everybody this time of year. Right now, because we've had so much rain, everything is blooming, okay, including the ticks and the fleas. And because of that, the first thing you have to do is, are you on flea and tick prevention?
Yes, I use Revolution, and also I put a Hart's collar on her for the ticks, because Revolution doesn't.
Okay, so you're on, and you've been on it consistently.
Yes.
Okay. The next thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you're feeding a good quality food, and after that, The next approach I want you to determine is, if you have done all this for many, many months, you might need to have your pet on an immunosuppressive type of agent, something like cyclosporin. The drug is called Atopica. Jot that down, A-T-O-P-I-C-A.
Okay.
And your veterinarian can get some for you. Atopica is immunosuppressive, and what it does is it stops that production of the histamines and other things that cause itching and scratching. Now, what's important is that you have to rule out the most common causes, and the most common causes are fleas. You said you're on prevention for that. The next thing, of course, you have to rule out is food allergies. If you're on a good quality diet, like a hypoallergenic diet, Hill's makes a good one. Royal Canine makes a good hypoallergenic diet, potato and duck or potato and venison. These are foods you can get from your veterinarian. No treats, please. No treats. You can't start your pet on a hypoallergenic diet and then give him or her treats, because then the pet might start itching again. And then, of course, some good essential fatty acids are very, very good. Once you find that none of these things are working, then you might want to go to the immunosuppressive agents. Skin issues are a huge problem for a number of pet owners. Sometimes it takes 4, 6, 8 weeks to figure out what's going on. Maybe you may even have to do allergy testing. So if you would like, you can give me a call. I can kind of help counsel you through this.
That would be great.
And should I give the number now?
Well, we should do that. Actually, we can, if you'll hold on. Let me write down your number. Well, I guess you can give the number. Go ahead.
Okay, 410.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
404.
404.
1600.
1600.
Uh-huh. But it might be better just to send me an email. Therefore, I can respond to everything to you directly that way. And just email me at slaughterdvm@gmail.com. My last name is spelled Slaughter, SLAUGHTER, DVM for Dr. Veterinary Medicine @gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, dear.
Take care, Mama. Good luck. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're talking with Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian. This, all of us care about our animals. All of us are worried about what happens to our pets during this recession. Times are tight. Money is tight. They still need care. Many of us want to get rid of our animals at the same time. 410-319-8888 to join us here as we talk with Dr. Johnny Slaughter on the Mark Steiner Show. One of the big issues is euthanasia.
Oh, yeah.
People who want to put their animals down.
Unfortunately, that is a large part of my house call practice. I'm on speed dial with a number of emergency hospitals in the area because I go to individuals' homes to help them do that final exit. It's something that is necessary, and it's one of the things that is very difficult for most of us to do. When is the right time to put our pets to sleep? And the questions we ask... Let me back up. It's such an emotional question that most of us don't do it early enough. We wait until the pet is no longer able to even recognize us. And then we say, okay, now is the time. I want all of the folks listening to kind of think about this in a dispassionate approach if we can, and say, are my good days less than my bad days? That said, use a calendar or colored marbles and put in a jar. For a good day, let it be a light color. For a bad day, let it be a dark color. And put that marble in the jar when you start to see your pet declining. One of the biggest signs is loss of weight. When you start to see that weight going down for whatever reason, that's a sign that your pet is having some challenges. The other is that the pet's not eating like he used to. Cats in particular will stop eating when they start feeling poorly. Can't get around like they used to. We have a term, ain't doing right.
The pet, you know. Is that a professional term?
That's a professional
term. That's what I thought, ain't doing right.
Doc. the pet's not getting up, moving around anymore like they used to. Used to be the pet would jump back and forth from the floor to the bed to the floor to the bed. All of a sudden, the pet no longer wants to move. You might see a situation where the pet is not waking up until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Believe it or not, Mark, you have senile dementia that's occurring in our older pets now. We have medication for that.
Get out of here.
Yeah. We are now treating canine dementia, helping our pets recognize
us. How do you know when a dog has dementia?
Ah.
Can't tell you.
That's the biggest excitement anyway. About veterinary medicine is the pets can't tell us, so it's the Sherlock Holmes aspect of what we do for a living. We literally are able to determine what's going on based upon how this pet is communicating with us. A lot of pets, after a certain age, because our pets are living to be 14, 15, 16 years of age, usually around age 9 or 10, our pet's eyesight stops doing as well as it used to. They start getting lenticular changes or pre-cataract changes. And so the first thing you may notice is your pet does not see as well at night. So the pet goes outside and just starts barking and everything. Not that they can see it, just kind of let everybody know I'm out here. The pet just can't see as well. Then you don't want to move the furniture too much because oftentimes the pet can get around based upon memory. And then you still have smell. This pet's going to like, okay, I can see right. What's going on. I can still taste my food. But the most difficult thing is the pet might kind of forget where he is, may lash out and nip at you. And this the subtle signs that the pet kind of whimpers and whines a little bit more than it used to. Sometimes when you start seeing those signs, you might want to contact your veterinarian and say, look, I heard on the Mark Steiner Show that there's something I can give to my cat or dog, primarily dogs, for dementia. And this is Selegilin, a little drug that they are using to help mimic some of the signs that we see in Parkinson's disease in humans. These things are very, very helpful to help the pet feel better, be more comfortable, and to allow them to maintain a little semblance of normality for a few more months to years as our pet gets older. The key thing is you want to start it early. You don't want to wait till the pet's bumping into things before you say, uh-oh, my pet's having problems. Most of us know our pet's behavior. I always advocate keeping a little diary as a pet gets older. Is our pet able to get up? Is our pet still cleaning him or herself? Is a pet dehydrated? Is a pet drinking enough water or fluids? When you lift the coat up of your dog, and if it's tense or stays up for a second or so, then he's dehydrated, not drinking enough water.
Huh.
You want to make sure that that's doing well. Is the pet eating enough? Does the pet need to be hand-fed? These are issues where you say, oh, my goodness, my pet is not doing as well as it used to. It's time to at least look into the multiple reasons why.
We're talking with Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian, who joins us this hour. He is a graduate. He says, told us a while ago, 1985, at Tuskegee Veterinary School down in Alabama. Lives here in Baltimore. He's the owner of the Camden Inner Harbor Veterinary Services. But, Jim, what was the name of the book you wrote that we interviewed you for before?
Brother in the Bush.
Brother in the Bush. How could I forget a name like that? And I remember when we met, Brother in the Bush, we met at a bookstore.
Oh, yes.
And you were signing books and we started
talking. Right. That's right. Just bumped into each other.
I saw the name of the book and what is this, Brother in the Bush? 410-319-8888 to ask a question of Dr. Brother in the Bush, Dr. Johnny Slaughter, who is veterinarian, answer all your veterinary questions about your pets. There are many of us who, all of us, love the animals that we have. They're a big piece of our lives. We worry about how to take care of them when they get sick. There are a lot of issues we have, and many are afraid to go to a veterinarian because we just can't afford it. And we have to take care of the little four-legged creatures in our lives. 410-319-8888 is the number here to make your call. So how about dogs that are – people are always worried about the we're not always worried because we love to pamper our pets. So many of them are fat and overweight. Big fat dogs.
I saw a dog walk into the veterinary hospital a few months ago. I swear I wondered how this dog was moving because it was so big I didn't see the feet. And the dog came in, just waddled in, looked like a river of flesh undulating down the back. And I asked the owner, how long has your pet been this big? And the owner said, my pet's big. Denial. Had no idea that a pet was big. And the key thing that we all need to remember is that a pet 1 year of a pet's life is like 6 to 7 years of ours. So if you are, if you're seeing your pet getting large in the 6 months, that's like 3 or 4 years in our life, right? So it's real important for you to start walking your dog for weight loss. Now, one of the things I tell people all the time, you can't just walk around the neighborhood to help your pet lose weight. You're going to have to do some aerobic exercise. One of the best ways to do aerobic exercise with a dog is for them to climb bleachers. So if you have a high school football field nearby you, it's important to carry your dog, if he's that big, or walk your dog to the nearest football field and have him walk up and down the bleachers, because you got four legs, a little different than you and I are bipeds. We got four legs, so it's real important to walk your dog up those stairs and do it in increments. Don't start off with your fat, pudgy little dog and try to walk him to death the first time. Start off with 15-minute breaks. Start off with a 15-minute brisk walk up the stairs and then a nice slow pace. Do that for about a week and then slowly provide increments at a casual pace. 10 minutes brisk, 20 minutes casual for week one, 15 minutes brisk, 15-minute casual for week two, week three, 20 minutes of brisk, and pretty soon your pet will start getting in shape. You want to, this time of year, when the weather's changing, real important, anytime the weather gets over 80 degrees, you want to start carrying water for your dog.
If there's little pans, you can sling them over your...
Yes.
Let's go to the phone real fast, Johnny, and then we'll come right back to walking your dog. Is that all right?
No problem.
410-319-8888 is the number here to talk with Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian, about your pets. Questions that he can answer about taking care of your cats or dogs. 410-319-8888. And let's see, Gail in Baltimore County, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Gail.
I have a question for the pet doctor. My schnauzer constantly gnaws at her paws. And I was told by my vet that it was related to allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, have some comment on that.
Good. Yeah, your veterinarian is absolutely right. What kind of food are you feeding?
I feed her I'm trying to think. Hold on.
It's the one in the yellow bag.
Yeah, one in the yellow bag. Right, Neutral Max.
Okay. A lot of us do the same thing. We don't remember the names of it because we just say, oh, that's the one, and we just grab the one in the yellow bag.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, the pet is allergic to something in the food. When you see a pet biting at the feet or gnawing at the feet, after you've ruled out flea and tick, you might have a food allergy.
A food allergy.
And so the way we treat that is to, as I shared with the young lady before, first of all, schnauzers always have skin issues. So if you have a schnauzer, you're going to have skin issues. This time of year, it may be allergies as well. Is this something that goes on all year, or is this something that has just kind of started right now?
Well, we've had her a year, and it has been, an ongoing problem for the year that we've had her.
Right. So I would like for you to talk to your veterinarian about getting a prescription for a food with a novel protein, or protein that the dog probably has not been introduced before.
Okay.
So that oftentimes means deer meat, duck meat.
Huh. Sounds expensive.
Well, it's not cheap. It's you're not going to be able to get it at Giant, put it that way.
Okay.
But you're going to, they have it in PetSmarts, Petco's, and it is a prescription food.
I see.
So you want to get a hypoallergenic food. Jot down, grab a pen. You're going to jot this down. You want to get either Hill's ZD, the last letter in the alphabet, / D, ZD, or a hypoallergenic diet. Or a potato and venison diet, and try that approach.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to add some essential fatty acids, as I told the young lady before. The reason we're talking about omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids is that really helps the skin fight off challenges that is being addressed.
I see.
And then you also might want to then start by getting a little, help the pet along his way with a little steroid shot. I don't like using steroids very much. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the ones that make you knock the ball out the park. We're talking about the steroids that help stop itching.
Okay.
And you might want to start off with that. So go talk to your veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
and have him or her talk to you about the approaches you can do. But the main thing is, are you feeding treats?
We do tend to give treats.
What kind of treats are you feeding?
Well, they are...
Uh-oh, you didn't fall, did you?
Mother Hubbard, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is Natural Choice.
Okay, I'm going to say something really novel. You ready?
Yes.
Throw those away.
Oh, my goodness.
I want you to start feeding baby carrots.
Baby carrots?
Apples.
Apples,
no, my, uh-huh. And green beans.
My dog loves carrots.
Baby, those little small ones that come in a whole pack.
Go to feed the horses. He is crazy if you don't feed him the carrots as well.
Baby carrots. You get a bag of them at the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
Slice up them, nice little Granny Smith apples. Slice those up.
Okay.
And raw green beans.
Mm-hmm.
Let that be the treat you're giving. Understand, giving treats is all about love. The pet really doesn't care what you feed them. He just wants the interaction with you. And we have a tendency to go, ooh, boy, it's got bacon in it. Bacon! And we think that that's going to mean the pet's going to love us because we like bacon. No. It's not about what we like.
Uh-huh.
The pet is going to react to the fact that you are giving and interacting with your loved pet. So trade off that behavior with a healthier treat.
Okay. And
you will find that some of these problems are man-made, or we are loving our pets too much with the wrong food.
I see. Okay.
All right, Gail, thank you so much. I hope that helped.
And thank you. It certainly is eye-opening.
Take care, Gail.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Enjoy your little beast. 410-319-8888 as we talk with Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian, to answer your veterinary questions, answer your questions about your pets. Cats, dogs, we're leaving out birds.
That's a subspecial.
Very special.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah. Just don't use your Teflon cooking pans near your bird. Did you realize that? If you're cooking with a Teflon pot and you have your bird nearby chirping, he may stop chirping.
Really?
Yeah. So don't use your Teflon cooking pans near your bird.
That's not interesting.
Yeah. You won't have a talking bird too long.
Huh. 410, well, I won't do that then. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We'll get these calls coming in just a minute for Dr. Johnny Slaughter. There's an email that came in from Anonymous, but she writes, I don't know why I'm assuming it's a she, just because it's about a cat. That's not right. But
shame on you.
I made a mistake.
Okay.
My cat tends to throw up her food after eating. It primarily happens when her bowl is empty for a while and then she's fed. It's almost like she's bulimic. Is that possible? She's done it for years. Should I be worried?
The reason your pet's probably throwing is probably regurgitating more than throwing up. I think the key point that what you said was it happens when the bowl is empty. So she might be feeding once a day maybe. And the pet is probably starving. So the pet sees you put the food down. Pet rushes to the bowl and starts eating way too fast. If you and I did the same thing, what would happen to us? We start doing a Cool Hand Luke thing and start taking down a bunch of raw eggs. We're going to throw those things back up, right?
I would imagine so,
yeah. So oftentimes the problem is too much food too soon. Happens to many dogs, many cats. The answer is twofold. One, feed multiple times during the day. Less amounts of food, smaller portions, portion control. Second, raise the bowl a little bit. So the pet has to raise the head a little bit, and that will slow down the voracious appetites. A lot of pets, especially if they are outdoor pets or came in a situation where they might have been abused, when they see food, they eat it very quickly because they're thinking that it might be taken away from them. So this is some behavior modification. The other thing is you always have to rule out a medical cause for that. So it's important to share that information with your veterinarian to make sure you don't have a problem with the throat. Sometimes there's a condition called aclasia where there is a problem with the throat. The food comes down, can't get it down all the way, so the body's reaction is to regurgitate it right back up. So make sure there's not a medical problem with that, Miss Anonymous. And then from there, we can just kind of do those behavioral management things.
Or Mr. Anonymous.
410-319-8888.
Dr. Johnny Slaughter's in the house, a veterinarian to answer your pet questions during the course of this hour. He's the owner of the Camden Inner Harbor Veterinary Services. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steiner@gmail.com. And Magdalene in Baltimore City, you're on the air.
Hi,
Hi.
I wanted to ask you a question about my dog, Missy. Every time I give her all these different kinds of food whenever, like, I go to Giant, but it's like she has this horrible plaque on her teeth, and the plaque on her teeth, it's this gray stuff, and it's been rotting her teeth and stuff. And I tried to take her to the doctor, but it was, like, a whole lot of money for dental. So I wanted to know, is there, like, any other way that you can get it, get the plaque off of her teeth?
Okay. Very, very, very good question. Do you realize Missy has 42 patients in her mouth?
No, I did not.
That's the number of teeth that the average adult has in the pet's dog's mouth, 42.
Wow.
And so what happens is one of the main reasons why our pets decline in health is dental disease. We've done a very good job, Mark, of educating about food.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because big major corporations can sell different brands of food. And therefore, they spend money in nutrition. Did a very good job of eliminating parasites because corporations make money on selling flea and tick products. What we haven't done a very good job in veterinary medicine is educating dental care. Do you realize that, I'm going to back up a little bit and then answer your question. Do you realize that in the pet's mouth, the enamel on a dog's teeth is half the thickness of our enamel?
Okay.
But they have oftentimes 5 to 10 times the bite power that we have, anywhere between 3 to 5,000 pounds per square inch, which means that these dogs can bite harder and they can also shatter their teeth a lot easier than you and I can. So dental pain is a huge problem in addition to dental or periodontal disease building up on our pet's teeth. Gingivitis, especially Yorkshire Terriers, little small dogs, they walk by and breathe on you, and you just want to blink because the smell sometimes is so bad because these little dogs have all these teeth in such a small mouth due to inbreeding over the years. So to answer your question, you need to be brushing your pet's teeth every day.
Really?
Yes. Just the outside.
I heard that, Magdalene.
What you might want to do, and we're not, you don't necessarily have to go get a toothbrush, because what a lot of pets will do, you put a toothbrush in their mouth, they think they're going to play tug of war. What you want to do is just get some gauze and just slowly, while you're watching your favorite television show or listening to the Mark Steiner show, put that gauze just on the outside of the teeth and start rubbing back and forth on the teeth and get that gunk off of the teeth that's being built up on every day. Go to PetSmart, Petco, and get yourself some chicken-flavored dog toothpaste after you've been doing that for a week or two, and then put that on the teeth, okay?
All right.
That's real important. One last thing. I want you to go online and go to oxyfresh.com, because there's a solution in there that you can put in the drinking water that will also help keep your dog's teeth healthier.
Okay. Thank you.
Magdalene, thank you so much for calling. Good luck with all that. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back. Dwayne and Jim. Dwayne in Baltimore. Jim and Glenn Murray both have some interesting questions here for Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian hero on the Mark Steiner Show. Stay with us. We'll come back to take all your calls at 410-319-8888. Or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. Over 7 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian, 410-319-8888. Go right to Dwayne in Baltimore, the next caller up. Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian and owner of the Camden Inner Harbor Veterinary Services, to take your calls about the pets that you love so much in your life. Reminding you, before we go right back to the phones, that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And again, the number here is 410-319-8888 as we talk with Dr. Johnny Slaughter and Dwayne in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Slaughter. I have a Dachshund, a miniature Dachshund.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what she's fed is, I can't think of the name of the food, but it's salmon and sweet potatoes, which she ate since she was a pup.
Mm-hmm.
She's in real good shape, but every time we take her out, we live in a very rural area, and she just loves to hunt down. We call them bunny treats. I was just curious as to, first of all, how bad that is, and second of all, how to really stop her.
Okay, good question. And it's a very common question. A lot of pets are eating their poop, or other dogs' poop, or other animals' poop.
Yeah, they love to even poop. What is that about?
Well, there's two schools of thought. One is the pet is bored. The other issue is that the pet might be missing something in its diet. And as a result, pets then will say, I know, I'll eat this to get what I need in the diet. Recent research has shown that it might be a beta complex vitamin, B vitamin deficiency. So what has some veterinarians have started doing is counseling and giving their pet a B vitamin added to the diet on a daily basis. The other thing you might want to do is go to your veterinarian and get something called Forbid. And that is something, it's a little product that you put over the food. And what it does is it makes the feces taste bad. So therefore, you do a behavior modification with diet. So other people just put hot sauce. Walk ahead of the dog, see the dog doing that, put a little hot sauce over it, and the dog bites that once and then says, ooh, I don't want that anymore. And does a little change in behavior. But the difficult part is that it sounds to me that you need to maybe put your little one on a little shorter leash. No leash is longer than 12 feet.
She stays on a rather short leash. I mean, whenever
okay.
she goes to do it, just a little jerk, and she'll usually...
Right, so...
Head off in another direction. I was just more curious of, health-wise, if there would be a risk for her.
Yes, it is. Just to answer your short answer, yeah, there's plenty of problems with eating other pets' poop, not to mention what that pet then brings back in your house when he jumps on you and starts licking your face. So it's real important to break that behavior if possible.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks so much. I'm glad you joined us. Thank you so much.
Not exactly the topic at dinner time, huh?
No, well, my dog, does the same thing sometimes, and he has this penchant for horse poop.
Yeah.
It drives me, no.
He's like, but it tastes so good.
No. Come back. 410-319-8888. Dr. Johnny Slaughter's in the house talking about your animals. He's a veterinarian answering your veterinary questions about the things that you love so much in life, our pets. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. And Jim and Glen Burnie, you're on the air.
Mr. Stein.
How are you?
Dr. Slaughter.
Hey.
Ooh, that was nasty. Anyhow, I have a question about dog food.
Okay.
Now, I have a American Pit Bull Terrier, and as well as three cats. And we, in the past, have kept them on Proplan.
Okay.
Which they enjoyed. They enjoyed very much. Then we were told that a good product to get them off of the grain would be Abadies. And the dog could not stand it. And the cats, we get sick from it. Now we're on a product called Evo, which they love. I need your input on what you think of this product. Have you heard of it?
Oh yes, of course. What's going on with pet foods right now is that we, with an informed consumer, we have now decided that certain additives are detrimental to our pet's health, which was brought on by the melanin scare a few years ago when a lot of pets were dying from some of our cheaper foods. And so we've learned to get away from gluten and some of the fillers that have been in the foods. Gluten is considered a cheap protein source.
Exactly. That's the main reason. Now, neither of the Well, none of the cats are overweight. The females are about where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
We think that the vet has told us that the male might be a little bit underweight.
Right. Well, the main thing that you want to do, by the way, you want to stay away from most foods that are sold in some of the large stores like Walmart. You want to stay away from Old Roy, Crunchies, Bits and Bones, these foods that you can get like a 50-pound bag for $6. Stay away from those because, by and large, these are the foods that have a lot of the cheaper products in it. You want to stay close to well-known brands, Science Diet, Hill's, Royal Canine, Purina make some of the good foods. Evo, these foods are oftentimes sold in some of the specialty food stores. There's one that I love here in town that I like that has it's called Dogma. There in the shops at Brewers Hill, and Scott and his partner there, Virginia, both of them sell fantastic foods there in Dogma, there off on Boston Street, that you can go in and you might want to just go and talk to them about some of the organic foods they have available. The main thing is you want to feed a balanced diet, whatever you're feeding. You want the pet to get a quality, balanced diet, because if you don't, then the pet will start eating grass, poop, as we talked about earlier, and other things, because the pets will feel there's something missing.
Right? There are a number of good stores in town like that. There's also in Hamden, is it Chow Baby?
Chow Baby, yes.
It's another good store. Dogma's a great store. There are a lot of stores here. And then there are places that are even some of the large places you can find good
food.
Well,
like I said, we've got her on the Evo now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been making, you can really tell the difference. She's leaner, stronger. There's not an ounce of fat on her. And as a matter of fact, if I could drop a name, the store is called All for the Pets. It's in Severna Park.
Perfect.
And they've been treating us like gold and recommending or not recommending.
Okay.
And just to let your listeners know, Mr. Stein and Dr. Slaughter, this product I think is wonderful. But what I was asking about was the difference between, let's say, an Avity's, which I didn't think was a very good product. It may be a well-made product. Of course, the dog and the cats didn't enjoy it. But
right.
Now they love this Evo.
Well, realize now, you and I can form a product. We can just go in and go to a manufacturer. Diamond is a company that makes like many of these products, and say all I want is a food that does not have any gluten or does not have any chicken, and we can put Mark Steiner food out and sell it. So it's very easy to do that nowadays. The issue is, do you have 5 to 10 years of research showing how this food does with different breeds? And there's very few foods that have that type of study. The only ones that do are Science Diet and Royal Canine. All the rest are novel foods that really don't have the years and years of research.
Jim, thanks so much for your call. Glad you were part of this hour. Let's go to another caller looking to talk to Dr. Johnny Slaughter about our animals, our pets. Questions he can answer, 410-319-8888. Jackie in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. Hi. I have a cat. I have this cat that I've had for over a year.
Go ahead.
And this cat is pooping and peeing everywhere in my house. I mean, just everywhere. Sometimes she goes in the litter. Sometimes she does not. But most of the time, you know, I'm cleaning up. I find a little pile of something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what we're doing wrong.
Okay, two things. How old is your cat?
I'm not real sure how old she is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's back up. There's two things why the cat will stop using the litter box. Reason number one, the cat does not like the litter.
Okay.
Something about the litter, you change the litter, don't like the smell of the litter, don't like the substrate of the litter. The cat just says, I don't like this litter, and I try it, keep trying it, don't like it. You might want to start switching the litter and seeing what might work better. Second, as cats get older, they develop arthritis.
Okay.
They develop it in the shoulders, along the spine. And so sometimes when a cat gets in the crouch to use a bathroom, the cat starts to strain, and all of a sudden, because of arthritis, the cat feels like there's been a pinch in the backside, and the cat jumps and says, "I can't stand it anymore," and walks out of the litter box, dragging and dropping stool. Okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes that really is the problem. The pet just can't get in the crouch, and as a result, what happens is the pet is relieving him or herself throughout the day because it just backs up and it starts to come out because the pet just can't bend over like they used to. How do we treat that? You go to your veterinarian and you ask him or her to do some x-rays of that spine and see what's going on. You might need to get more water into the diet to help that hard stool to go through, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we have found for cats is those water fountains that the water comes trickling down works a lot better. It makes noise. The cats like drinking. That helps bring it out. And using some other approaches to help retain some water might be helpful. A little Metamucil, believe it or not, is helpful. But I do want you to do all this under the guise of your veterinarian. Okay.
Okay,
don't just start dumping Metamucil over the food. Dr. Johnny said on the radio. We create another issue. So I want you to talk to your veterinarian or give me a call. I'll come on out. I do house calls. I'll come on out and help counsel you in how to set up your litter boxes in the house and help you deal with that problem. The other thing is you want to rule out a urinary tract disease. And sometimes when pets don't feel well or cats don't feel well, they will start leaking all over. And so that's a concern that we want to rule out, too.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if she's leaking. But I don't think she's old enough to have arthritis. And she still looks pretty young. And she was a kitten when we got her.
Okay.
She was a baby. She wasn't really grown. And a friend gave her to us. They found her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not real sure of her age.
So how long have you had her?
We've had her a year.
Okay, so she sounds like a young cat.
Yeah, but what we also don't know is if this cat might have been kicked. Okay, if you found the cat could have been kicked, thrown out. And so for all we know, there might be some issues going on in the backside that is flaring up that needs to be just assessed just to see what's going on. And then once we know what's going on, we can treat that, and we find oftentimes the pets having a healthier life and less smelly life for your house.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll think about that. I didn't even think about that because she was like a little stray. So anything could have happened to her out there.
Exactly.
All right, Jackie, thank you so much. And good luck with your cat. And I hope everything goes better for both you and the cat and smells better soon. Take care. Oh, she's gone? Okay. There's nothing worse than cat urine. It's one of the worst smells on the planet Earth.
No, tomcat urine.
Tomcat urine.
Is worse than female cat urine. Because a tomcat will sit back there and back up to a wall and spray mark the house, and you walk in someone's house and go, "Whoa, what is that smell?" And then people sit back there. What's even worse is people will take Febreze and spray over the cat urine. So you got you walk in, and exactly, that's the sound that you make. and you walk in, and you're going, "I can't identify that, but it smells like flowers." But it's Febreze-covered tomcat urine, which is driving most people to airing out the house a little more than they want to.
Dr. Johnny Slaughter is in the house. Johnny Slaughter is a veterinarian and visits us here on the Mark Steiner Show to answer your questions about your pets, how to care for them, problems you might be having with them, making sure that you're worried about vaccinations and more, and flea and tick season coming up. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. As we talk with Dr. Johnny Slaughter about all manner of things to do with our pets.
You said vaccines. One big problem we have right now in this area is Lyme disease.
Lyme, yes.
Make sure you are putting a good protection against ticks on your dog every month, all year round. Some people say, "I don't need to do it. It's not cold." When it's cold, you don't need to. That's not true. Most of us are keeping our pets indoors now. They're not outdoors, so the ticks will literally stay dormant in your pet's house and will, in fact, infect your pet with Lyme disease and some of the other tick-related diseases. And Lyme disease causes an intermittent lameness. Sometimes the pet's lame on left leg, sometimes the right leg. Very, very painful disease. So please keep your pets protected with good quality flea and tick prevention all year round.
But if your animal has been bitten by a and does have a Lyme disease,
yes.
The animal has it, and it's been a while and it's limping, there's nothing much you can do about that.
That's, yes, you can. Late, right? No. You take them to the veterinarian and you need to get a prescription for doxycycline, the same treatment that you and I would take if we have a Lyme disease. And it's just a tetracycline product. And you treat it for 4 to 8 weeks. And oftentimes the pet will start ambulating a lot better, a lot faster, and feeling a lot better. So even if you saw the tick on the pet weeks ago, go in, have the test done, and the pet is limping, even more so, ask for a prescription for doxycycline from your veterinarian.
Huh. Even if it's after the fact.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and you recommend doing it all year round?
Always. You and I both know that there was days in December that it was 75, 80 degrees out. And because of this global warming, it's no longer just cold all winter long. We do have these ups and downs. And when these ups and downs occur, these eggs hatch, and pets are in the house. And as a result, these pets are getting bit, especially if they're walking around in the grasses. All it takes is a little bit of carbon dioxide, and these little buggers will come alive and bite our loved ones.
Dr. Johnny Slaughter is here to prevent your dog from getting bitten by those ticks. He's a veterinarian here to answer your calls at 410 and your questions at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at SteinerShow at gmail.com. And Gail, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Gail.
Good evening to both of you. I was just calling. I have a golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
He's 9 years old. He unfortunately has Addison's disease.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he is currently getting shot at the clip once a month, and he's on prednisone every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the prednisone is creating, of course, complications in terms of his belly, and I think possibly the joint discomfort. I'm not really sure whether it's actually the medication or it's just that he's getting older. And I just want to know if there was anything different in the treatment that I may be able to do to just kind of help him out a little bit.
Well, the key thing with this disease that most of us deal with is basically it's called hypoadrenal cortisism, which means that the adrenal glands just aren't working like they used to. This is the area where the hormones are produced, and these hormones are called corticosteroids, and they are hormones that basically allow us to deal with stress. So prednisone and dexamethasone are some of the products that are used to help handle the mechanisms of sugars and fat and proteins, and when it goes out of whack, the pet then starts not doing as well, or back to our ain't doing right, doc. so they have synthesized a drug that that they are giving to help you do better. And I don't want, because we literally could be speaking for 15 minutes just on this disease. Just make sure you're following the guidelines of the practitioner who has determined what's going on, and have your pet in there every 4 to 8 weeks if necessary, just to make sure that the pet is maintaining health, because this is unfortunately a long-term disease that pet will do well depending on how well you do for the pet in providing and reducing the complications associated with hypoadrenal corticism.
Yeah, does that help?
Yes, it does. He goes every 3 months.
Okay.
So, we so far, we've had 2 episodes in the past year,
mm-hmm.
but we've been able to turn him around. So, I just was wondering if there was anything else out there that possibly we can do. But
Well, just make sure, yeah, just make sure you're staying on the medicine that is being given. It's usually called Percortin, which is a drug, and just make sure that you're giving that like every 25 days, and that you are. Sometimes you can wean them off that, but you want to stay on it, and you want to make sure you and the veterinarian are also checking the other signs that could occur with this disease, which is megaesophagus and seizures and weight challenges, and just make sure you're doing blood work to kind of keep the other things in control.
Thank you. Good luck, Yael. Thank you so much. I'm glad you got through. Thank you so much. 410-319-8888. Sharia, you're on the air.
Hi, doctor. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good evening. Well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Now, if I may, I'd like to piggyback on the question the gentleman 2 calls ago in reference to the dog food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dog, he's an American Bulldog, and I do give him the old Roy. And I kind of think I heard you say don't do that.
No, that's one thing that I would like for you to consider changing, please.
Okay, now the question is, and I'm quite sure there's a lot of listeners out there that is in the same position I am, and when you're on a fixed income, you can't afford sometimes like the IMs and things, you know, like
right.
Different foods like that.
Good
what
question.
What do you suggest?
The key thing, believe it or not, is that you can buy in bulk. Some of the better foods. What I also tell people is get with a few neighbors that you know have dogs, and you guys all go together and buy the 50-pound bags of these things and spread the cost and help each other out. This is the same type of thing we've been doing with families for generations in helping each other. The reason why I say this is that if you feed old Roy long enough, you're going to be going to your veterinarian for multiple problems associated with diet.
Why is that?
Because it just has poor products in it. It's like you and I eating at a fast food restaurant every day as our only meal.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have those problems that the gentleman showed in that movie, I forgot, where the guy all he ate was...
Yeah, right, the McDonald's movie.
So I want you to recognize that the better the food, the healthier your pet will be, and the less you'll be spending to your veterinarian for...
Yes, okay, what foods do you suggest?
Okay.
Not only am I asking for myself, because I'm quite sure there's other listeners that's
sure.
wanting to know what is the better food to buy that is within our dollar range.
I understand. I understand.
You understand?
I understand. You want to go to Petco. You want to go to PetSmart. Those places, they have ads, sales all the time on some of the better foods. Science Diet, very good food. Royal Canine, very good food, okay? You can't go wrong with those foods. Purina has a very, very good food. Someone mentioned Pro Plan. That's an excellent food that you can just kind of see what's on sale.
Right.
But you don't want to switch back and forth each month with a different food, because then you're going to create diarrhea and other problems.
Right.
And then
I do know.
Yes.
Okay, now you said Science Diet, Purina Pro Plan, and there was another one.
Royal Canine.
Royal Canine?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and they sell those in both PetSmart, and they sell them in Petco. And Nutro Ultra, if you have a big dog, that's an excellent food too. Nutro Ultra.
Okay, now, which is the better one for my dog? Like I said, he's about 5 years old, and he's an American Bulldog.
Either one of those are very, very good foods, ma'am.
Okay. Because I know that sometimes it depends on the breed of the dog.
For a bulldog, all those foods are good. We're not dealing with a big working dog. We're not dealing with a big sporting dog, in which I might recommend something differently. But with a bulldog, all those are excellent foods.
All right, Sharia, good luck, and I hope you found a good food out there. Thanks so much for being with us. 410-319-8. Oh, are we running out of time here? Oh, I guess we are running out of time. I wish we'd get these other callers calling in. I guess that means we might be forced to have Johnny Slaughter back on again. I don't know.
You can also drop me an email if you have a pencil, and I'll be my diligent self to respond to your emails. SlaughterDVM@gmail.com. SlaughterDVM@gmail.com. And I'll be able to answer your questions for you. And I am a house call veterinarian, so I can come out and help counsel, provide things that you need. I just don't do surgery in your kitchen. So don't ask me to come neuter your cat.
I don't do surgery in my kitchen either. I'm not going to do surgery in my kitchen, man. I'm sorry. Johnny Slaughter, good to see you. Thank you so much.
Take care, sir.
Johnny Slaughter, veterinarian and owner of the Camden Inner Harbor Veterinary Services, was here to answer your pet questions. We will have him back to answer some more questions. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our interns are Christina Arison, Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, and Jackson Hubolt. Christina Arison on the phones tonight. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews, A Clean Cut. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows and hear additional interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.